Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network again. TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. And also Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I'm so excited to have this guest on the program. I had her on once, and it's so great that I have a connection with a PR firm that I can bring her back on a regular basis. How cool is it? Well, you'll say, why? She's from Dancing with the Stars. She's a dancer. And she firsthand knows what's going on, fans, of what's happening. So I'm so excited to welcome the program, and she's competing with it as well. Sharna Burgess from Dancing with the Stars. Sharna, thanks for calling, and I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Your schedule is so busy, Sharna, and just tell me how tough it is to even chit-chat for 13 minutes with me with what's going on with Dancing with the Stars now. You're with your business and also all the other engagements you have. It's crazy when you're taping, isn't it? For sure.
Absolutely. My world is crazy and constant right now. I was choreographing until 4 o'clock in the morning last night and back up again at 8 o'clock to deal with some press and continue with some creative on some other things that I'm doing. So there is definitely no rest for the wicked right now.
And when we were first talked, it was you got eliminated early last year and, last season. And I just, it's so interesting to see you talk. We talked about on the show last time about how you're going to be one that continues to be on the show because you get along with the celebrities. You're able to work with them. And there are some dancers that just absolutely can't connect. So tell me some of the experiences so far that you've had with some of the celebs you've worked with because of the switching and all the craziness of this year.
You mean for this season?
Yeah, for this season. Yeah, for this season. How crazy.
It's been incredible. We're obviously only doing our Switch Up Challenge this week, and I had my first day with my new partner yesterday. And I'm incredibly happy. He's wonderful. He's lovely. And we're getting along great. And I think we're going to create something really fun together. It's certainly very different for us to have to do this midway in the competition. A very big part of Dancing with the Stars is that journey that you create with your celebrity, how well you get to know each other, and just that relationship that you build. And so we sort of now have 6 days to create that or find that, I guess, probably a better word. So it's very interesting. But, we have had a couple of weeks to be familiar with each other anyway. But it's going well. And I have to say, this cast this season is just absolutely wonderful. There was not one male celebrity left in the cast that I wouldn't have wanted to dance with. But, I mean, from the start of the cast in general, everybody is just amazing. And in saying that, I'd just like to say that I totally miss Billy D. He's just such a wonderful man, and it was just such a shame to not have him around anymore, but of course we understand why, and told him that he has to come back and visit as much as he can.
Oh, yeah, so kind of update us on that for myself as well. What's happening there? I think it was a big news, right, with Billy D you're talking about, correct?
Yeah, Billy D announced on Monday that his doctor has told him he is not physically capable of continuing on Dancing with the Stars. He knew that he was in quite a bit of pain in the last few weeks of rehearsal, but he went to the doctor to see how bad it was because he couldn't quite judge it. And unfortunately, he was told that he had to stop. And it's such a shame. I mean, he's just such a wonderful man with such a cool elegance about him. You know, he's just been in the business for so long. He's so educated but so humble and has a great sense of humor. So it's definitely a shame to not have him around. But we're obviously all thinking of him and wishing him the best with his health and told him that he needs to come back and visit. And hopefully we'll see him around CBS at the studios a couple times.
Oh, absolutely, that's a definite surprise, and I saw that on Good Morning America, kidding with my loud family in the morning when I'm all with them and working from home. I understand completely what's going on.
Yeah.
So when you heard about the switch, did that make you nervous at all, knowing that you're going to switch partners, especially at a time, and then they announce it, you know, that's the first thing they were promoting with Dancing with the Stars was the whole switch thing. Did that make you nervous when you knew that was going to happen?
It really did. I mean, We had our first, as professional dancers, we had our first rehearsal day where we had to set our celebrities. We didn't know anything that was going on. We just had to get started with some of the group numbers that we do this season. And so producers sat us down and we all had our little, you know, chat that we have before every season about how we're excited and the changes that are happening. And all of a sudden, Conrad and, you know, and team announced that they're thinking about this thing called a switch-up challenge. They're not really sure if it's going to happen. They've got to work out the logistics of it, see if it's even possible. But, you know, not to worry, but it's something that just might happen, so we should know that it's a thought. We all walked away thinking it wasn't going to happen. And then, lo and behold, a week and a half later, not even a week later, I think we're on GMA and we announce it. And we all looked at each other like, oh, also this is happening. And I think the most frightening part was that we didn't understand it. I had done so many interviews with people asking me, you know, what it meant and what it, how it worked, and I couldn't even answer the question. You know, I had three different ideas of what it could possibly be, but and I think they were still playing around with the idea. But now that we know it's just 1 week that we go back to our original celebrity and there's no elimination based off of that week, and I think it's a little bit of fun mid-season, you know, and I think we all just need to embrace it and see how it goes. It might be great and it might be terrible, but we won't know until we try.
So, Sharna, do you think you have a shot at winning this year? Especially looking at when you're going back to your partner and all that stuff, especially, like I said, being eliminated very early last season, do you think you have a shot?
You know, Charlie has all the talent to win, absolutely. He really, really does. And he has the drive and the dedication. You know, he's literally the sweetest guy on the planet and the most genuine, honest person I've ever met. If anyone I've ever danced with deserves it, it's him. But, you know, this is a competition based off of who our fans want to see more of and whose journey they enjoy the most and who they connect to the most. And so it's always really hard to say. You know, he has competition in Meryl, in Amy, in Danica, in Candace. They're all very, very talented and very lovable. And everyone is just sort of still building their journey right now. I'm definitely working towards that final with him. I mean, he's such a competitive nature as well with his, within his own self, that I think he would be devastated if he didn't make it to the final. But he's also in it just to enjoy the experience and have fun. So we're working towards it, but wherever we get to, we're grateful.
Absolutely. We're talking to Sharna Burgess from Dancing with the Stars, and I think you're going to win, and I'm rooting for you, and I love your partner, especially, you know, you're thinking about the Olympics and all these things. Let's go ahead and have you win, you know, and I think you're so excited about having somebody that has some experience in choreographing and performing. That must be make you happy as well, having that partner being chosen for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very, very different to what Charlie has done before. And he, I think we haven't been able to see yet in our packages on the show how much he struggles. Contemporary obviously came to him quite naturally. I just had to teach him transitions from foot to foot because he's not on ice. But the ballroom dancers, though he has an understanding of what it is and what they mean, he has no understanding of the technique or how to execute them. He just knows what they look like. So I hope that soon you get to see in our packages how much of a hard worker he is, because at the beginning of the week, it's held together by safety pins and it's really awkward and a little bit uncomfortable. And by the end of the week, he's just, you know, blossomed into this, you know, swan-like ballroom dancer. He just has such a grace when he dances. But that's through hard work and dedication. It's not necessarily a natural gift to him.
Are you going to give any other people, who do you think your biggest competition on the show is? You mentioned a lot of good dancers that are the celebrities. Who else do you think is going to be a challenge for you to keep going all the way to the finals?
You know, it's really hard to say. I think Danica and Val really impressed me last week. I loved the routine that he did for her. Also, Amy is just so wonderful and inspiring, and talented. You know, the way that she and Derek are working together and making it work is just wonderful. And she has beautiful expression when she dances. And I think she's just such a lovable, incredible woman that I think you'll find her in the finale. And who knows, she could take it home. Also, Meryl. I mean, how could you not say Meryl? She is incredible. That foxtrot that she did last week with Max, flawless. So who knows? I think it's those three that are our biggest competition right now. But also, look, James. Look at James. I mean, last week he was absolutely fantastic and he's improving at a great rate every week. So it's, I'm not even trying to be politically correct. I'm just honestly telling you, I have absolutely no idea.
Well, that's what I want our fans, and especially we'll be tweeting this out and making sure that all the fans of Dancing with the Stars get these updates from Sharna. But you said the media has been crazy because being eliminated earlier, you don't get the opportunity. But now being already in mid-season, it must be so crazy, your schedule, with all these interviews of interviewing different with different people and different press and different things, and how much Dancing with the Stars is becoming just an icon of a show. Like, I mean, you could, everywhere you walk, you get recognized. It just must be wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is crazy and surreal in so many ways when you walk through the street or when I go to the Grove and I get recognized and have people screaming for my autograph. I still, I guess, feel like that ballroom dancer from Australia, you know, in very much inside my heart that thinks, wow, really me? You want my autograph? You know? So it's funny. People come up and I'm so sorry to bother you. Can I please? And it's like, oh my goodness, no! It's a compliment to me. Absolutely. What do you want me to sign? You know, it's still quite surreal and wonderful. So, but I'm enjoying every single part of it and truly grateful for a show like Dancing with the Stars to give ballroom dancers a platform to show what we can do, because that never existed before that.
And we're talking again to Sharna Burgess from Dancing with the Stars, and I kind of am pinching myself with the lineup I had today and yesterday and all these great people. But one thing, listeners out there, interviewing these major celebrities, and like I was telling you, Sharna, off air, who I have on, and yesterday I had Noel Pikus Pace on the show, that it's just unbelievable. But you guys are so down to earth, and you truly see that your fans are what keeps the show so popular. So would there be any,
absolutely,
is there any advice you would offer any young dancers out there that want to be you someday?
Oh, goodness. If there's any advice I can give, as simple as it sounds, it's just never give up. You know, it seems like I've had a wonderful career that's come easy to me, but it's definitely come with the struggles and many people saying it's not going to happen. I mean, a lot of people looked at me when I was like, I was crazy when I said I wanted to do this for a living. You know, Dancing with the Stars didn't exist at the time and I just wanted to be a dancer. But if you have a dream that you believe to the very core of you, that is what is your sole purpose in life, that's why you exist, is to do that, then never ever let go of it, because there will be more happiness in you trying and fighting through the struggles than you not living your dream.
Absolutely. So where can we find information on you, Sharna, learn more about you? I know Twitter's a great place. You have a website as well. Tell us all the different areas. And next month, you're coming back, hopefully saying you're a finalist or have won it. That's what I want. That's why for my show.
Right? I would love if everybody could follow me at Sharna Burgess on Twitter. Sharna Burgess, and it is the same on Instagram. I've been posting a lot of photos from the show, and I'm trying to do some live tweeting during the show to keep you guys updated. So, and also some little backstage photos. So if you want to check out, definitely follow me at Sharna Burgess on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, and website is sharnaburgess.com.
Well, you're trying to be me in social media, and you're definitely doing a great job. What an honor to have you on the show, and I'm so happy I get to talk to you next month. So good talking to you, and best of luck the rest of the month.
Oh, great.
Month.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye. You're listening to Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. Again, go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor. Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. And Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I always like to have other guests on the program. But when I'm talking a celebrity who I can talk about in different platforms, and I enjoyed my interview so much with this wrestling superstar that I wanted to bring him back, especially with these bullying incidents that have been happening in Pennsylvania, especially in the Pittsburgh area in the last 2 weeks. Two awful situations that have allowed bullying to continue to go on, that has led to some tragic situations in one end, while another time just an awful way administrations have held this. So I want to welcome the program former WCW heavyweight champion, WWE intercontinental champion, Mark Miro. Mark, thanks for calling, man, and I'm just so impressed by what you're doing to try to end bullying. Thanks again for calling.
Neil, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be back on your show.
I'm excited to talk to you for those reasons. But you know what? I even mentioned this. I said, I have to talk about this because, Mark, what you're doing is you using your platform, your known celebrity, to help make a difference. And I wish that there was many people like yourself out there. So issues like bullying would not be happening if we had many people like yourself speaking out about it.
Thank you, Neil. You know, it's in life, it really is about finding your passion. I really have found a passion to make a difference, especially with our next generation. And, you know, Neil, I'm screaming from the rooftops. We are losing our kids. I mean, suicide is now the third leading cause of death among young people today. More kids than I can even, I mean, when we speak at a school, you wouldn't believe how many kids write to me about how they're self-harming, cutting themselves, burning themselves, and then having suicidal thoughts. I mean, when we were in school, gosh, we never knew a kid that was cutting themselves or a kid that wanted to kill themselves. It's just out of control today.
It's definitely out of control, Mark. How can we figure this out? And the best way is to try to eliminate it and to not allow it and the ignoring factor. So first, I wanted to touch on the tragic incident in Franklin Regional High School last week, and especially the fact that now things are coming out. We don't know for sure that he could have snapped because he's being bullied. We will never find that out completely, because we don't know if it'll be covered up or not. But he was a loner. He was dealing with a lot of issues, and he snapped. And the concern I have about this, Mark, is that why is it always that, you know, kids are being bullied in our schools all over the place and nothing's done about it, and then an incident like this occurs?
Well, the thing that really troubled me about this particular one, you know, we've seen many shootings in schools, but this is the first real mass knifing. And knifing is a very personal way to hurt somebody. And it stems from a lot of anger, and that's why what you said, Neil, about possibly if him being bullied or hurt in some way by somebody else could really play a factor in this. And I hope that the truth comes out, because we can't fix what we don't acknowledge, and we've got to acknowledge that there is a problem in our schools today. Bullying, I mean, it's a different world today. When I was in high school, you kind of knew who the school bully was. You would stay away from that guy. But now, bullying could be 24/7. I mean, these kids wake up in the morning, they read how ugly, stupid, and worthless they are, and they have to go to school, and maybe they'll see those kids, or maybe they already know who's even doing that. We're seeing more kids with eating disorders now than ever before, and much of this stems from being bullied at school.
And it definitely stems from being bullied at school. And the concerns I have, and I address another thing that I'm going to talk about, and maybe you need to do research before you respond to it. My daughter's school anti-bullying program is called Olveus. And Olveus basically says you're wrong, Mark, that basically that, you know, cyberbullying has not increased, suicide has not increased due to bullying, and that basically that it's been the same and not changed at all in trends. And these anti-bullying advocates that go out there and say this and spew this stuff, when we know it's not true and it was the same 20 years ago, we're never going to fix this problem.
Oh my gosh, that really saddens me that someone could even say something like that. I've spoken now over 750 schools around the country. I have my finger on the pulse of what's happening with these kids. How do I know? Because I receive hundreds of letters every single day. I'm reading letters of kids that are going through isolation, loneliness, depression, being bullied or abused, self-harming, suicidal thoughts. I read them. I see what's happening. And for someone to say that it's not changed at all, Are you kidding me?
And that cyberbullying's not led to more bullying and more suicide, which is definitely true. Cyberbullying's made bullying one of the worst things ever.
I've been to so many funerals now, Neil, of young people that have taken their life. I can't even count them at this point right now. And when I was growing up, I never even knew of a kid that committed suicide. Today, it's hard to find a kid that doesn't know someone that took their own life or know someone that knows somebody. It really is a tragedy that someone could say something like that.
And he's in a lot of our schools all over the country. And if you have not heard of him yet, Mark, I will send you info so that you can study up on this, because this is the thing. We need to have this dialogue come out. And through what I just talked about, how, you know, everyone wants to sweep it under the rug, right? Mark, it's not a problem. 20 years ago, we just handled it, and we become tough through it. And all these things that they bring up, which we know we weren't dealing with this. Yes, there was the bully on the playground that would take our lunch money or beat us up, but not to the point of humiliation, to the point where you're afraid to be at school every day. And it's multiple people, not just one person. A kid who's isolated is isolated by everyone, not just the bully who was isolated himself 20 years ago. So this incident that occurred that I know I'll have to kind of educate you on at South Fayette High School, and this is for our flagship station in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's hearing this right now. The incident that occurred at South Fayette High School with a kid that the teacher allowed the bullying to take place, the administrator allowed the bullying to take place, and nothing was done. He went ahead and recorded it on his iPad. And basically, wouldn't you think, Mark, it's over? You know, we've caught the perpetrators from what they've done, and that the bullies would be punished? No, it didn't happen that way. It's terrible, for sure.
What you mean, what you're saying, Neil, is that the young man was in trouble for recording it?
Absolutely. He was in trouble from recording it. They the principal wanted to get him for charges of wiretapping, which was dropped to disorderly conduct, and they finally dropped the charges yesterday. So isn't that awful? But if I send you, go ahead.
About scarring a kid. You know, one of the things I tell students is that, you know, through cyberbullying or things like that, is to make sure that you have evidence, make sure you record it, make sure you have, you know, you could take a snapshot of your page or whatever it is before they delete it or something like that. And it's the same thing with if somebody is hurting you, it's how easy is it to record somebody doing something and go, hey, listen, this is what happened to me. This is proof of what this person's been doing to me day after day, week after week, month after month, some kids, year after year. And finally, the kid stood up and said, you know, I've had enough. I'm going to record this and show them that I'm not lying. This is what's happening every day. And they go, no, you're wrong. You're getting in trouble for doing this. Are you kidding me?
The police interrogated him, Mark. He's a special needs student at South Fayette High School, a sophomore. Fox News covered it and everything, but I think that the fact is that not everyone sees this, and they have their own agenda. You and I have an agenda for the children. That's why you and I connect so well, and we are advocates for kids. And when we see things like this occur, someone from Facebook tagged me and told me, and she was so upset. I said, oh my gosh, I have to cover this on my show, which I did already. And then I said, I got to bring my anti-bullying advocates who truly are making a difference. Yourself, Catherine Kramer, different people like this, and say, you know what, South Fayette High School, if you're not going to ever apologize for this fact, we will bring the heat nationally and internationally with our experts all out there, you know, speaking out against this, and this will be a black mark for making a decision like this. For a principal to punish the kid, can you imagine that?
It's ludicrous, and it really troubles me that these are the people that are the leaders of our schools. These are the kids that we entrust our kids to be protected. He's not going to protect these kids. Obviously, he's protecting someone that bullied this kid. So the bully didn't even get in any trouble. There was nothing.
No, the kids, because they were special, because they had IEPs. And I had a conversation about that. We understand. But the thing is that they were more behavioral problem IEPs, and that they don't do anything to these kids. And that you go in these learning support classrooms, Mark, and it's an absolute fiasco. It's probably like being in a steel cage match, Mark, where, you know, people are throwing stuff at you and you're dealing with that. That's what kids like this kid had to deal with. So that's why I wanted to tell you about it and really get you out in social media, and I'll keep sharing stuff with you, Mark, so that you can really tell this district you did wrong, and they're doing nothing to apologize about this, which is really sad.
Yeah. I'm very, very sad to hear this. And, you know, but it takes people like you, it takes parents that PTA, PTSA, people that are going to stand up and step up, speak up and say enough is enough. You know, it takes a community to come together. I mean, these parents have so much power that they don't even realize if they come together, because these principals, you put enough heat on these principals and faculty members, superintendents, they've got to make changes, especially if we come together as a community.
Absolutely, definitely. And we have to speak out. And to think that that child had an IEP, Mark, and they did nothing about it. And I'm an educational advocate. And if I was representing that family, I'd say, we're going to be up there every day till you do something about this. We're going to leak it to the media. And then, you know, it's still, because now the charges were dropped, you know, the national news will forget about it. Well, when I see what happened and that we're allowing bullying to take place, and you read the transcripts of this, Mark, you would be outraged, angry. And I know that's the kind of person you are, that
as a family, even looked into legal aspects of this, hiring an attorney, having someone look into what can be done.
It's not said any of that stuff yet. And I'm going to definitely connect you on Facebook with her, meaning at least tell you who she is so you can reach out to her. Because, I mean, I think it's something that someone is as well known as you are and as connected as you are can help this family. And that's why I decided to bring this up with the other Franklin Regional thing. And it makes me more outraged. Yes, Franklin Regional was terrible. We will never know how much that kid was bullied, if he was. But this has happened. The teacher, Mark, can you imagine? You and I are teachers. Could you imagine we would allow a kid to be humiliated in the classroom and bullied in the classroom? We're not talking on the playground. We're not talking in the lunchroom. We're talking in the hallway. We're talking in the classroom.
Yeah, this is how our kids get scarred. You know, high school or middle school, I mean, those are places you look back on your life and go, oh my gosh, that was so much fun. Today, kids don't even want to go to school. More kids are being homeschooled. Now, imagine that this kid, when he gets older, not only that, it affects relationships as we get older. It affects our marriages, our families. And we look back at our life and go, oh my gosh, that day I had to go to school and they were embarrassing me in front of the whole class. It's something this young man probably will never forget.
He will never forget it, Mark, and I'm glad that we were able to kind of really conversate this fact and bring this up. But I know you're going to do some more research on this and be there for the family, because that's what you do in your organization, is you're looking to truly help these kids, and you cannot turn your back on any kid.
Neil, I would love to come out to the Pittsburgh area. If there's anybody listening to this that has pull within the schools, a family, a principal, a superintendent that's listening, please go to our website, which is thinkpause.org. ThinkPause.org, and read about it. We've been over 750 schools, and we're really making a difference in students' lives. Our common theme is when kids write to us and says, you changed my life today. We really are able to address bullying at a really heartfelt level that makes kids realize what words can do to another person. We just had something happen recently in New York where a young man took his life. The parents contacted us, and the schools didn't want to have a presentation because of the newness of the kid taking his life. I mean, it just happened not too long ago, a month ago. And she would not stop. We are going up to this school in May to speak at school. And I wish the same thing could happen at Pittsburgh, where we could come there and speak to the schools in your area.
Well, we're definitely going to work on that for sure. And I think that this platform and to do this, and I know that your team should go out there and say that you'd like to speak on TV, in these local TVs in Pittsburgh, and say, hey, this is ridiculous what's happening. Because none of these anti-bullying advocates, when these things occur, are out there, Mark. You are, and that's fantastic. So let's go to the next topic, which saddened me, the death of the Ultimate Warrior. But what saddened me more on social media was some of the media, how they painted a picture of professional wrestlers. You and I are brothers in pro wrestling. I was a minor league pro wrestler. I never made it to the level that you were, but we all know that all the guys were not such, you know, consider drug addicts and alcoholics, and that's the whole business. And I'm sure it saddens you to see specifically how they're painting everyone in one picture based on this death and utilizing that as a way to go after it.
It is sad, and I got to tell you, Neil, and I'm going to be totally honest. You know, when I was in the industry, you know, the drug testing and the the lifestyle we live is much different than what's happening now in professional wrestling. I got to tell you, I got to commend the WWE, Triple H, and what they've done at that company to, you know, help those young people that are getting involved in professional wrestling with steroids and drugs and things like that. I was guilty of doing some really stupid things in my life, of drugs and alcohol and steroids that could have killed me too. But to paint everyone with the same brush is absolutely wrong. And there's some wonderful people. In fact, Ultimate Warrior, my debut in professional wrestling with the WWE was in Ultimate Warrior's match because he just beat Triple H, and Triple H and I got into a big fight backstage, which brought me into the WWE. So I got to know Warrior pretty good my first year with the WWE, and he was a great guy. I mean, he's just an intense guy that, you know, he was a businessman, and he went out there and he gave it his all. And I just sad, man, to see what happened to him and so many of our other brothers in the sport. But to just automatically just paint everyone with the same brush, you know. Warrior's lifestyle, you know, I mean, obviously, many of us are guilty of doing things that we wish we never did. But to paint professional wrestlers now with the same brush as professional wrestlers of days gone by is wrong, because it's a different world today.
It is, Mark, and when I was in it, it was pretty bad, too. I mean, I was finished up in 99, and I don't know how they've cleaned it up, and that's great to hear that they have. But, I mean, when they listed the people who died based on these certain things, and I heard about this on the Nancy Grace special, I was absolutely outraged in a way, and to say, you know, we can't do this, and we can't look at industries and go after them. Then let's go after a lot of industries, because everyone, there are all these crazy messed up people in so many aspects and situations, and the professional wrestling business, and it's great that you're saying definitely they're cleaning it up. It's a dangerous business, but to kind of paint a picture that all of us are just, you know, out of control, that'd be the same thing as saying rock stars are all like that, or other celebrities are like that, and that's a terrible thing. And as you said before, the drugs that were going on at that time in the business in variety ways, it was a terrible thing, but everybody try to take those shortcuts, and they dealt with those certain things. But it's happened in the NFL. I had a story. I talked to somebody real quick. Willie Mays Akins. He played for the Kansas City Royals, and he had an unbelievable career in the 80s. And then he went into drugs. And the drug of choice in Major League Baseball in the 1980s was cocaine. And then crack. So if you're telling me that we're going to just go after wrestlers, let's go and look at the closets of these baseball players in the 1980s. And then the steroid use in baseball. Let's not just continue to just go after wrestling and bullying wrestling in so many ways. So definitely, for sure. So, Mark, in your opinion, through this process of thinking about the death of the Ultimate Warrior and a lot of wrestlers losing their lives at an early age, how can we curb this from happening? Is it a multitude of effects why they're dying younger?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I think that's what they are doing right now. You know, I mean, obviously they're having much stricter drug testing. We're seeing guys that are being more aware of what has happened to many of these wrestlers. I mean, I've wrestled approximately, I think the total's up to around 40 guys now who are dead, that died much too young, you know, through negative lifestyles. It isn't just steroids. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of different drugs that we put in our bodies. And over the years, you know, by not taking care of ourselves, I really try to take care of myself now, you know, realizing that I've done a lot of damage to my own body over the years from illegal drugs and steroids and other garbage I put into my body. And I'm thankful to God that I'm here and I'm able to be healthy today. But I don't know the long-term damage that I've done. I mean, I Ultimate Warrior obviously didn't know the long-term damage that he did to his body. He died way too young. I mean, he shouldn't have died at 54 years old.
Right, exactly.
That's just very unusual for someone to die just walking their car at 54 years old. So there's obviously an accumulation of a lot of things that he may have done over his lifetime. Maybe he hasn't done drugs in years, but it could have been from when he did illegal drugs or steroids back when he was younger. I don't know. The autopsy hasn't come out yet, but to speculate this soon and to throw all the wrestlers under the bus was totally wrong. And you know, I'm... I was actually asked to go on the Nancy Grace show. They called me to be on the show, and I decided not to because I knew it was just going to be a circus. And but, you know, and I look back, and maybe I should have gone on because I would like to say what I'm saying to you right now is that it's wrong to paint with everybody with the same brush, you know. What they're doing now in professional wrestling is unbelievable. We're not seeing wrestlers dying like they did back when I was in the industry that, you know, it's like, my gosh, every few months it looked like somebody was dying, you know. There was a period there that, man, we lost so many people. And but we haven't seen guys die in wrestling in a long time, other than guys that have been out of the business for a long time. But to see the wrestlers are in there now, I commend them for what they're doing and how they've cleaned up the sport.
Absolutely. Okay, so, Mark, where can we find more information on you and learn more about you?
Oh, please. The best thing is you can always follow me on Twitter, Mark at Mark Mero. Mark is with a C, M-E-R-O. And or please go to our website, thinkpoz.org, and you can read all about where we're going, where we're heading to, and changing and saving lives around the country. And Neil, I commend you for what you're doing. I love your show, and your enthusiasm is awesome, buddy. And I'm glad we're friends. I'm proud to call you a friend, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person one day, man.
I hope it happens. I hope you come to Pittsburgh, so I will continue to utilize this platform. I'm going to be more of an investigative journalist when it comes to the education portion of my network, and really speak out against these things and get people like yourself as my advocate to go after them, because we got to stop it. So thanks again for calling, Mark.
All right. God bless you, man.
God bless. Take care, man. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. Again, you can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, and also Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I feel like I'm back in school again, and I'm a teacher, and I'm interviewing one of my students. But guess what? She's a celebrity, and she's known in a bunch of different worlds, from the cartoon world to now the television world and movies. I guess you're a jack of all trades. So I want to welcome the program from CBS's Bad Teacher and also Bubble Guppies, Grace Kaufman. Grace, thanks for calling and being on the show.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, Grace, tell our audience a little bit about your background in acting, and then we'll get right into your three projects.
Cool. Well, it all started, I was about three, and then I realized I really want to act. I used to play make-believe and make my dad dress up. We used to play Wizard of Oz. It was really fun. And my mom and dad are acting coaches, so they said, you know what, why don't you try it? So I took some acting classes, and that's kind of how it started. And then I'm like, this is really fun. I like doing this.
So it helped having your parents as teachers, right? It's kind of like my daughter, me being a former teacher, my wife a teacher, that, you know, school's going to be simple for them because guess what? Their parents are teachers. I guess for your parents being acting coaches, that helps a lot in the process of getting used to how to act, right? By having them teach you, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And they're also actors, so they when I have an audition and they're coaching me, they can also give me, like, advice and stuff. Like, about what I need because they've had experience before. So, yeah, it's definitely very helpful.
And it definitely does. And then there you go. So, specifically enough, let's go first of all to, Sister, that's going to be in Tribeca Films Festival. And I'm sure you're really excited about this role, especially this film, because I was reading up on some of it. Quite interesting. So, tell us what you're going to do in Sister.
Yeah, it definitely is interesting. So it's about this girl named Nikki who she has ADD, and she's just very she's depressed, and she's just very emotional and violent, and she's kind of alienated from other kids, and she doesn't really know what it's like to live a normal life because she was adopted and she's never really been in the real world. And then once her mom and dad get in a car crash and her dad dies, her mom goes to a mental institution and her brother is forced to take care of her. But she doesn't even really know her brother. So, yeah, it's kind of about them just getting to know each other and, like, finding love for one another in the end. And he kind of changes her and takes her off her medications and stuff. And he kind of just changes her into a fun and loving young girl instead of a depressed, angry human, basically.
So, Grace, is that your character you played in this, in the film?
Yes,
it is. Okay, so how did it feel? I mean, especially now, think about this in a lot of ways, ADHD and how it's so prevalent in schools and things like that, to play something, play this type of person, because you seem pretty laid back in certain aspects. So how was the preparation for that character?
The preparation was pretty intense. When we would drive the set each day, it wouldn't be like that fun kind of, like, you listen to music, like, play on the phone and stuff. It'd just be very quiet and calm, and I'd just keep going over my lines. And it actually helped because David Lasher, the director, and he was also the writer too, but he would help prepare me on the set. He'd go, "Grace, now this is the scene where you kind of, like, you want to feel what Nikki's feeling right now. She's feeling, like, depression, or she's feeling anger right now." So, yeah, I wouldn't really talk to a lot of people. I'd kind of just outside of the filming, I just act like Nikki.
And how did you kind of, did you watch other people that react, that act like Nikki through the script, like researching and stuff, this role in certain aspects?
Yeah, and actually, David Lasher, who was the director, this movie's kind of based on his family and his sister Carly, because she had ADD. And yeah, he told me about her, and there was, like, I did some research on the medications and, like, all of this kind of stuff. And before I did the film, I wasn't even really sure what all this was. But then after I got the part, I was excited. But my mom said, "Now, Grace, if you want to fit this character, you're going to need to do a little bit of research on it." And so I did, and I found out so many, like, crazy things about what it's like to have ADD and all this stuff. And it really helped.
And it's different also, and I'm glad it's on the film, because most of the time we think about boys having ADHD. We don't think about girls. So
yeah.
by having you play this character shows that there are girls struggling with this each and every day all over the world, for sure. So I think that's a great thing for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it definitely is. And so I think that through this process of learning about your character and how you act as with ADHD, what is your ultimate thought process with kids, especially you probably now in school, when you're in the classroom, you spot kids that do have it now from playing this, don't you?
I do. And yeah, and there are a couple kids in my class who I've started to notice after this film, when I got back into school in August, I noticed they'll just sit there, and I feel really bad because now I really know what it's like to be one of those people. Not really, because I don't really have ADD, but as a character, and I feel awful, and yeah.
And then it's also hard in this child, for sure, that there's no family, just the brother. And to deal with just that whole mixture of things. So that's definitely, people need to definitely go check out Sister. I definitely want to see the film. I'm just intrigued just by being an educator and involving ADHD and see how that plays in the story. And it seems like it's a great opportunity for you. And I wish you the best on the success of that film at Tribeca Films. Let's now go to something else.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So we go from the situation with Sister, where, you know, we're really talking. It's really an education portion of a show today, Grace, on My Celebrity Show. Then we go to CBS's Bad Teacher. Now, interesting enough, I did some research at the beginning of this, and this is going to be interesting for what teachers' reaction is going to be about this film, for sure. Again, I'm a former teacher. My wife's a teacher. For us to see on film, on TV, something about teachers, it's interesting to see the educators' reaction on certain aspects. So when you got this script and saw what you're going to play in this part, what did you think of it?
I definitely think that the teachers are going to be so surprised. They're going to think that this teacher is just insane because she drinks in the classroom. She doesn't even pay attention to the kids. She'll go on random field trips just to get rich, hot guys to be her husband, and yeah, it's definitely, no, I don't think there's ever been a teacher. That's just crazy.
Well, Grace, the sad thing is, if you watch the news, there are they're all over the country. They just aren't on they're not on TV. So interesting. So tell us your part in on that show. What do you play in that show?
I play Bronwyn, and she's friends with Lily, who's played by Sarah Rodier, and she's a nerd, and she's like a heavy nerd. She's a nerd because she's on the safety patrol, and she's just crazy, and she really follows Meredith, who's the bad teacher, played by Ari Grainer, and she's hilarious. She's really funny. She thinks she's all bad and all cool, but she's really, she's just hilarious.
So are you ready, once this airs on television, how your life's going to change with people recognizing you for things? Are you ready for this? You know, because especially with the success of the show.
Well, yes and no. I'm prepared because, like, I've always wanted to have people, like, recognize me. I've always thought that would be so cool. So each day after I've done work, I've always been like, that'd be so cool to have people recognize you. But no, because I've never really had anybody recognize me, so I'm really excited and nervous because I don't know what it'll be like.
Well, I mean, I had the situation, and when I was telling you I was a teacher, I was a former professional wrestler, and I was just in the minor leagues, but I got spotted everywhere I went because of a local TV show in Arkansas, in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And then everyone, it was like a little territory in Arkansas, and I would go to the grocery store, I'd go to the movies, I'd go anywhere I was recognized. So it was pretty wild. I could just imagine in an aspect of just everyone, oh, aren't you that girl? Or so I'm sure that your parents will prepare you for sure for this opportunity, and I'm very excited for you, and I'm definitely going to check out the show and tweet out the show for sure when it airs in our interviews. And I was interested in that. I don't know if you know the history about the movie. Is that related at all in the script idea, or is it completely different, the one that was the movie? And if you don't know that question.
Related to the movie, but we have different characters, like, played by different people, there are just so many. There are a bunch of new characters. Like, I'm pretty sure in the movie they didn't have my character, Yeah.
Right. They're expanding it. They're expanding this to a show, to one day, pretty much in a movie, to a complete show. And I mean, I was laughing watching all this, and I was kind of saying, "Oh my gosh, it was just hilarious." So I think this is going to be very successful because you think of TV shows that had teachers on it, you know, Boston Public.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the different ones and how they've done, and they've done well for a certain amount of time. So I think that people will definitely speak of this, especially the kids out there, and it'll be interesting to see what teachers' reaction to this and everything. So let me jump from there, but
oh, yeah.
I'm going to definitely watch you on Bad Teacher. Let's go to Bubble Guppies now, and that's my kids' favorite show. My daughters, I have five kids, by the way, Grace, and three girls. One is nine. Yes, one is nine. One is five, and the other is three. While my boys are very, very young, and they're huge Bubble Guppy fans. So tell me how you got this part, because I think when your publicist told me, the most excitement I had was to get to interview about Bubble Guppies, and she's probably looking at me like, what are you, crazy? Just because of all the different interviews I have, to have somebody that my kids adore, how cool is that? So tell us about that role.
Bubble Guppies it's a very educational show. But it's also very funny, and it makes a lot of kids laugh, which is awesome. And everybody is so nice on the show. Like, we'll be recording on the show, and I record with our director, Charlie. He is so hilarious. We're always making jokes in between the takes of our lines. And whenever I mess up on the line, he's always like, you should probably stop drinking before you come into work. It's really funny. It's such a blast doing the show. Everybody's so nice, and we record our lines and we record songs, and it's really fun doing it in the studio because it's just so cool. You see all the records on the walls, and the lady who records my singing is Emily Cardinal, and all the songs are awesome. They're so like pop. There's, like, so much pop. It's awesome.
And definitely. And how long have you played a role on Bubble Guppies for?
I've played Dima now for about maybe a year and a half, 2 years, around there.
And do you hope to continue to do this as Dima for Bubble Guppies for a while? Is this a fun gig for you?
Yeah, it's so much fun. We just got picked up for our official fourth season, which is awesome. So we've got... some time for that, and that'd be really cool to get picked up for another season too. But I love doing Bubble Guppies. I think it's so fun. I just wish it could go on forever.
Absolutely. So what a very, very interesting conversation we're having with Grace Kaufman. And Grace, I just think of you as one of my students, and I think I was able to put you at ease. But guess what? You won't give me a time of day once the show airs and you're going to be this big superstar and your Twitter following will go to 20 or 30,000, or you'll get another big role from this, and then you'll say, who's Neil? I don't know who Neil is, even though he was my first interview. And we'll find out about child actor Grace Kaufman moving all the way up to, like, this big role. And I'll say, I knew her when. Because I just could tell you have that go-get-em attitude for sure and all those things. And Bubble Guppies from Bad Teacher. And I really want to watch you and Sister because I think that those are all great things. So I don't know if you can tell us exactly where we can find information on all three things. But if you can, let us know. First of all, Sister. Or where can we find information on that? Because the others are pretty simple. You Google Bad Teacher, you Google Bubble Guppies, you're fine. But what about Sister?
Sister, if you go to the Tribeca Film Festival website, they have a list of films, and you will find Sister there. And on Facebook, there's a Sister account. And there's also an Instagram Sister account. It's Sister the Movie. And then Reed Scott also has an Instagram, and so does Dorinda Swan and all the people from Sister. And they are posting stuff like, come watch Sister. It's at the Tribeca Film Festival and stuff like that. So, yeah, it'll be around.
So do you think? So this film, the way it works is, if it does really well at Tribeca, then it could get a bigger release. Correct? Am I correct about that?
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. Actually, after the Tribeca Film Festival on Wednesday, April 30th, it's premiering at the Newport Beach Film Festival too, and so that'll be really fun too. So it'll be really cool because you'll see Sister one day and then Sister another day. I'm really excited.
So what do your classmates think of you as an actor in their school? Is that weird to them? Because I've talked to some childhood actors. I've had a few of them on. I guess the one for, I forget their names. The one was in a movie with Billy Crystal, and I forget that one that came out in Thanksgiving a couple years ago. But what do they think of you being an actor and you're in school? Especially they'll say, oh yeah, I got to go do some work, or I have to get out of this certain thing. What do your friends think of this?
My friends are actually, they're great. They're not the kind of people who are like, who get all jealous and weird to me when I come back from school. Like, they're always like, what happened? Oh, I hope you have a great audition. They're really supportive and I love them. They're awesome.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. I really have enjoyed talking with you, and you did a tremendous job with your interview, much more mature than many 25, 30, 40-year-olds. If you would listen to all my interviews and see these people that aren't prepared, you just understood exactly all three projects. You did a fantastic job. But now, let's plug your Twitter. Let's build up that Twitter following even before Bad Teacher airs. Where can we find information on you, Grace? You have your Twitter account. Is that the best place to follow you?
Yeah, totally.
What is your Twitter? What is your Twitter handle?
Oh, my Twitter account is I'm Grace Kaufman.
All right. Well, all right. Fantastic. And do you have a Facebook, meaning like a Facebook fan page, or are you just so far just the Twitter?
No, I don't have a Facebook Facebook, but I do have an Instagram.
All right. Well, awesome, Grace. Thanks for taking the time. Best of luck with the projects. And I'll have to have you back in a couple months to give us some updates on how your life has changed once Bad Teacher started airing. So you can tell us the story. And it also will be something I can go to my daughter and say, look at her. This is the maturity of Grace, a couple years older than my daughter, and saying, hey, you set your mind to something, you'll be successful at it. So thanks again for calling, Grace.
Oh, thank you so much. It was so nice of you to have me. I had a blast. Thank you.
All right. I did too. Take care now. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment.